This is the Tao of Christ, and I am Marshall Davis. In this podcast, I explore the mystical roots of Christianity, which Jesus called the Kingdom of God, which I refer to as Christian non-duality, unitive awareness, or union with God. Others call it non-dual awareness, liberation, enlightenment, or spiritual awakening. It is the heart of all spiritual traditions. This is the Tao of Christ. Good morning, this is Marshall Davis. This episode explores the final section of the Sermon on the Mount. It has taken me several months to go through Jesus' famous teaching section by section, and I hope that you have been able to see that Jesus was teaching the non-dual reality that he called the Kingdom of God in this great sermon. I am considering revising and editing the transcripts of these talks and putting them together into a book format. And right now it has the tentative title, Sermon on the Mount, a Non-Dual Interpretation. Jesus ends his longest and most famous teaching by warning us to be careful of those who would misinterpret his teachings to promote their own agenda. In other words, he advises us to use discernment when it comes to spiritual teachers. Discernment may at first glance look like a dualistic activity, and in a sense it is, since it distinguishes one from another, which is two. So that's dualistic. But all is one. The false teacher and the true teacher, all expressions of this one reality. Yet some teachings and teachers point to the Kingdom of God, to non-dual reality, better than others. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. I'm calling this non-dual discernment. Jesus uses a series of metaphors to warn us about those who would distort his message of the holy reality that he calls the Kingdom of God. First, he uses the famous image of a wolf in sheep's clothing. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves." In other words, some teachers appear harmless, but in reality, they are anything but harmless. The word prophet that Jesus uses here is simply another term for a religious or spiritual teacher. There are true teachers and false ones. Jesus is instructing us to use discernment when it comes to spiritual teachers. And Jesus specifically had in mind people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and the chief priests of his day. They all considered themselves to be guardians of divine truth. But they banded together to have Jesus executed for teaching truth in the Sermon on the Mount. They were, in Jesus' words, wolves in sheep's clothing. Thing is, they never would have even thought that they were wolves. They thought they were the good guys, and they were protecting people from Jesus, whom they considered to be a false teacher and a blasphemer and had to be eliminated. Unfortunately, that's the same thing that happened later in Christianity. The leaders that came to be in control of Christianity and are in control of Christianity today actually speak against the original message of Christ, and they consider this non-dual message blasphemy. The non-dual message of Jesus was turned into a dualistic gospel and then a religion called Christianity by these self-righteous Christian leaders. This pattern happens all the time in establishment religion, whether it's Christianity or Islam or Judaism or Hinduism or Buddhism or some other ism. So there's a message of the Lamb, the one divine reality, and there's a message of the wolf, The fox is guarding the hen house, to use another image. The lamb is on the cross, and the wolf is on the throne, and Jesus instructs us to discern one from the other, to pay attention when religious leaders get close to worldly power, get close to the throne. They are the court prophets, as they were called in the Old Testament. They are the false prophets and the wolves in sheep's clothing. The second metaphor Jesus uses is the fruit tree. Jesus says, "You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits." How do we discern true teachers from false? Jesus tells us to look at the fruit. Teachers who are infatuated with money, sex, and power are wolves in sheep's clothing. If a church or denomination or spiritual religious community is repeatedly involved in scandals involving sexual misconduct and financial wrongdoing, you can be certain it's rotten at the core. If it's involved in cover-ups and deception, then there is deceit at the root. It's not a healthy tree. If a leader is always asking for money, that person is serving mammon. It doesn't matter if the person is a megachurch pastor or a Hindu guru. Bad fruit indicates a rotten tree. Jesus goes on to remind us that it doesn't matter if they say they're following Jesus, or even if their ministry is accompanied by miracles. Every religion has its miracles. The court magicians of Pharaoh's court in the book of Exodus imitated the miracles of Moses. Truth is not about special effects. It's about living consciously as an expression of God, walking in the way and the Tao of Christ. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" In the Christian tradition, this means it doesn't matter how much a person insists that they are a Christian. It doesn't matter whether they call Jesus Lord, Lord. What matters is whether they are following Jesus as Lord. That's why I focus on the words of Jesus and the example of Jesus rather than later religious leaders and teachers. None of the 2,000 years of Christian tradition that has accumulated around the figure of Jesus really matters. They add nothing to Jesus. The creeds, the confessions of faith are all sideshows. All these ideas, what the church now insists are essential to Christianity, are not essential to being a follower of Christ. A few weeks ago in the church I attend, it received some new members into the church. And as part of the ceremony, the prospective members stood in front of the congregation. The Apostles' Creed was read. I think it was actually read by them, if I remember correctly. And they had to publicly profess that they believed the Apostles' Creed. This ancient creed has a lot of stuff in it that Jesus never mentioned. For example, that Jesus was God's only son, that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, descended into hell, ascended into heaven. This creed talks about believing in the Holy Catholic Church, Catholic meaning not the Roman Church, but the Universal Church. Believing communion of saints, resurrection of the body, and other things. Most churches, not just mine, the one I attend, but nearly all churches, have some set of beliefs that members have to accept in order to be considered a Christian. They are listed and taught in catechisms and in creeds and in statements of faith. But Jesus did not require a set of beliefs in order to be his follower. He simply said to people, "Follow me." He did not teach or believe most of the doctrines of the Apostles' Creed, much less the later creeds that has a lot more to them. This is why for the last 5 years when I was a pastor of this church before I retired, I did not require people to believe doctrines and repeat creeds to join the church. I simply invited people to follow Jesus. Doctrines and beliefs do not add anything to Jesus' message. In fact, they take away from it. Requiring people to believe a set of doctrines is like putting a bushel basket over a lamp, to use that metaphor that Jesus mentions at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. The kingdom of God is not about dogma, it's about the way of Jesus. We are to discern between unnecessary filler and the core teaching of Jesus Christ. To end his sermon, Jesus uses one final metaphor. He says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Jesus is telling us to ground our lives on his words, like a builder building his house on a rock foundation, on the one rock of non-dual reality rather than the many grains of sand of duality. One of my sons is a carpenter. He builds houses here in New Hampshire. He actually lives in the same town I do. He recently built his own timber frame, post and beam house with lumber cut from his own property. He did all the carpentry himself with the help of just one other guy that he works with. But he hired someone to put in the foundation. He made sure it was someone that he knew, that he had worked with, and that knew what he was doing. That's because it doesn't matter how well the house itself is built if the foundation is not solid. Each spring, we spend a few weeks in Florida, and this year we saw the damage caused by Hurricane Ian. Up and down the beach where we rent a place, we saw houses in ruins that had been destroyed by the hurricane, by the ocean surges. One of the first days we were there, I happened to see a man outside one of these houses. I went up and I talked to him. His house had survived and he was living in it, but his neighbor's house was totaled. He told me that the difference between the two houses that looked otherwise very similar was the foundation. When it comes to spiritual teachers, we need to use discernment. And I have found that the words of Jesus are a firm foundation. Now, that is it for today. I'm going to take a break, I think, from recording episodes in order to take time to concentrate on putting together a book based on these episodes, a book on the non-dual teachings of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. At least that's my plan. Maybe that won't happen. I never know what's going to happen until it does happen. That's the nature of life. So we'll both wait and see. But until next time, grace and peace to you. That is the Tao of Christ for today. Thank you for listening. You can access other episodes of this podcast at thetaoofchrist.com. You can also find these podcasts in video format at my YouTube channel at christiannonduality.net. My blog, Spiritual Reflections, can be found at marshalldavis.us. There you will also find a link to my books and my email address. Join me next time for another episode of The Tao of Christ.